Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, December the 16th. As we're winding down 2021, well, we got to do our annual Christmas show with our great friend Leslie Eastman. Leslie, of course, contributor to the Legal Insurrection, as well as a wonderful friend of our show. We have 9 days to Christmas and 2 weeks to 2022. And 2020, I'm getting my stuff stuck here a little bit. 2022. It's going to be a wonderful year to do shows and to participate in all the great things that are going to be going on. So let me say hello to our friend Leslie Eastman. Leslie, welcome. It's always a great honor to have you.
And it's a privilege to be here and rounding out another year with the Canto Talk peeps. And I'm wishing everybody out there a very Merry Christmas and a happy, happy New Year. And may 2022 be a blessed, prosperous, and healthy year for everybody in your audience.
Absolutely. You know, it is amazing how quickly the year has flown. My mother always said that after 21, the years were going to get, I mean, after you turn 21, the years were going to go a lot faster. But it seems like they're going faster than she said, you know, because it is crazy how fast 2021 has flown by. Here we are 2 weeks before the new year. I mean, maybe it's just me, but it sure has flown by very quickly, Leslie.
No, I'm going to have to agree with you. But in a way, that is a blessing because what a year it has been.
I would say so, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But I got to come up with a couple of little bits here from on this day in history. Beethoven was born on this day. I'm not talking about the movie Beethoven. I'm talking about the real Beethoven was born on this day in 1770. And I guess everybody at one time or another has heard something by Beethoven. But here's the one that I really wanted to bring up because it has a tie to you. Since you were involved in the Tea Party when we first met, oh my gosh, almost 9 or 10 years ago, it was on this day in 1773, Leslie, that the first Tea Party took place. This is when they threw real tea into the water there. So here we are 248 years after the first Tea Party, and I guess everybody's still talking about Tea Party today, Leslie.
Yeah, and interestingly, I am drinking a nice hot cup of tea as we're speaking, so I guess we're having a tea party ourselves then.
That's right. I've always, when I first came to the United States and was beginning to learn American history, I always thought the story of the Tea Party was so cool. I mean, that people would take tea and throw it into the waters of the harbor. I just thought that was such a cool story, Leslie. It really caught my attention. I guess, you know, revolutions have started many different ways, but this one started by some people getting angry and throwing tea at the water. I thought that was really cool, Leslie.
Yeah, well, we Americans, we don't take taxation and corrupt government lightly in general. So I would say that's probably a good segue into the crazy world, the crazy news cycle in which we find ourselves nowadays.
You're exactly right. And speaking of the news cycle, there was a Christmas tree. They burned down a Christmas tree, I guess, in New York, the Fox News Christmas tree, or not the Fox News, but the Fox Studios, I guess, Christmas tree. And I don't know if there have been many attacks on Christmas this year. It seems like it's a little bit less, or at least from what I can tell here in Texas, it's not as bad as it was years ago. But there are still many people who just hate the holiday. And I don't really understand why. I've always felt it's one of the most beautiful times of the year, Leslie. It's a great family time. The music is great. The food is great. The fellowship is great. Even the church is nice at this time of the year. So it just seems like an exciting time. Why would anybody hate Christmas, Leslie?
Well, I think the Fox News tree, if I recall correctly, was about the third Christmas tree that got torched. And as several people have pointed out, that tree has a very religious connotation, as does the season in and of itself, because we're celebrating the birth of Christ. And there are a lot of people who, like to, destroy, tear down the very traditional faith-based approach of Americans, and basically deride it, insult it, try to take away the joy of the season because they think they are righteous, they think they are saving the world from, people who practice Christianity, and there are a million other reasons, including mental illness. So there's a lot of different factors here, but it is always delightful to see a season come in. I'm glad you think there's less of it going on. I personally recently was invited to watch a friend's daughter dance the lead in the Nutcracker, and one of the things I noticed that the audience was completely packed with people from all ages, from little kids to grandparents very proud of their grandchildren dancing. And it was a very, very traditional take, and everybody had a great time. And that really warmed my heart because these are the things that we pass from generation to generation that give meaning and joy to people's lives. And so I just hope that this trend carries on and we're able to really bring it back and really make people, appreciate what they have and make it better and not let people who would burn Christmas trees or otherwise take away our holiday joys be victorious.
That's right. No, I think you're right. I think the holiday season is absolutely wonderful. And you're correct about traditions. We pass them on from one generation to the other. We tell Christmas stories from one generation to the other. At least here in the area in Texas, I have not seen much criticism of Christmas. It seems that, it's not as bad as it used to be. But I know that in other parts of the country, it gets pretty nasty. But at least here, it hasn't been that bad this year. But, I mean, we celebrate Christmas. I've always told people Merry Christmas at this time of the year. This stuff about seasons greetings, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but I prefer to say Merry Christmas and have always said that, Leslie.
Yeah, most sane, reasonable people appreciate that it is a gesture of kindness and respond in kind and don't consider the moral lecture on inclusion,
that's right,
diversity.
That's right. And all the other stuff, that comes with it. By the way, speaking of Christmas, maybe you saw this. There was a special, it's part of that show called The Chosen, and they had a special Christmas that was on TV recently, and it actually deals with the birth of Christ. Did you catch that? It was on YouTube. I think it was a special, and even some of the movie houses were carrying it around here, Leslie. Did you catch that?
No,
I
did not.
It.
No.
Yeah, I
no,
would
I
recommend
did not.
That. Yeah, I would recommend it. It was very nice, and it really focused on the birth of Christ itself. And I just thought that was a very nice. I think the name of the show is The Chosen. That's the name of the series.
Yeah, no, that does sound familiar, and I've had friends recommend it. Personally, my TV watching recently has been mostly focused on Hallmark Christmas films because I need mindless sugar for my mind after a hard day of science and political punditry. I want romance. I want mindless. I want a happy ending with Christmas bling.
Well, now you and a million other women, because I think that must be the most popular channel. I can think of a few women who watch that channel that I know quite well, and it just seems like my wife loves it. It's her favorite channel. My sister loves it. It is really, when you know, I know that every once in a while I sit down and I watch some of those movies, and they are really nice movies. I'm not capable of judging the acting or anything like that, but I mean the movie itself, I always like you, I like happy endings. So I always enjoy these movies because it's a happy ending. You know, you don't have to, and then you don't have to worry about somebody virtue signaling. You know what I mean? During the movie,
yeah.
Nobody's,
well, you
nobody's
like
calling
the
you
characters.
This or that. Yeah.
Yeah, you like the characters. You don't have the, you know, you see their struggles, whatever they may be. You get emotionally attached, and you get a resolution that's favorable to, shall we say, you know, your approach to life, and that's great. And it's, you know, so I make no apologies. I'm doing hard science, hard news, hard politics the other times of the year, but Christmas season, I got to step it down a little bit and just indulge. And that's probably my guilty pleasure, Hallmark Christmas movies, especially
well,
when I'm wrapping and doing Christmas cards.
You and millions of people, that's got to be one of the most popular channels that on TV. Is it cable? Is it part of a cable system, or is it an?
Yeah, see, I got it part of the cable package, but I'm sure that if you went onto a streaming services offer, you know, your choice and your versions of your holiday Christmas movie. So I will make it an admission. Come Christmas Eve, I'll be watching Die Hard, as that is my annual Christmas Eve movie.
My annual Christmas movie is It's a Wonderful Life. I enjoy that one. And they show that movie every December 24th at 7 p.m., at least here locally. And for years, that was, you know, when we were going to the midnight mass, which, of course, was not midnight. Mm-hmm. It was at 9 o'clock. But that was the way we would kill time, you know, between 7 and the midnight or the 9 o'clock mass. I would be watching It's a Wonderful Life because I absolutely love that movie. And you talk about traditional values and happy endings. That movie has a happy ending, too, even though, you know, it gets very interesting along the way. But it does have
dark moments, but it does have that happy ending. And it does actually make you think, but doesn't beat you in the head with a message, you know, either. So,
Another movie, Leslie, that I love is A Christmas Carol, but the 1951 version, the black and white version. They show
absolutely.
That, too. I love that. I love that movie. And then, of course, the one called The Christmas Story, which is kind of a silly movie, but what I love about that movie is then they end up going out for Chinese food at the end of the movie because I guess they burn the food or something. So they end up going to Chinese.
The dogs ate the food. The pack of dogs from the neighbor came in and attacked the turkey.
That's right. That's exactly right. They attack the turkey, and then they end up going to a Chinese restaurant. And when the guy cuts the head off and the mother explodes and mother screams, I just thought that part of the movie was pretty funny. But that's a great Christmas movie as well. And there's a bunch of others that they show that I don't even know the title, but I enjoy watching them. But that's another beautiful thing about the season. You get to watch a lot of movies. And, of course, there's always the one about Christmas Vacation.
Chevy Chase.
When they come over to the house and they enjoy them. So that one is a little crazy, but I enjoy that one as well. So I enjoy all of them. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I enjoy all of the sounds of Christmas and all the Christmas movies. But I actually do like the more traditional Christmas songs more than the, not, I don't hate the pop ones, you know, like Santa Claus. I mean, like Little Saint Nick, I actually like that one. But I really like the more religious ones, the more traditional ones. I kind of grew up with those, so that's why I enjoy them, Leslie.
Yeah, no, I am listening to, and it's been a challenge to find, but I got Christmas carols done in Latin. So that's been streaming on my music, and that's been really great. So if you're going to go back to roots, that is a definite way to go. And I'm right with you. I like my Christmas songs of more religious bent, and so the Latin Christmas carols have been really hitting a sweet spot with me this year.
Well, it doesn't go to the roots any more than the Latin Christmas carols. I mean, that goes right to the very beginning. But yes, I love this time of the year, and I think it's a positive time of the year. People get together, they have fun. Now, there are some negatives, some things going on that we'll talk about in a minute. But I always, you know, this time of the year, I always tend to focus on friends and family. And just think about that, because that's really the most important thing, your family and your friends and, well, just the message of the season. I really try to put all this stuff out of my head and just concentrate on the important stuff, Leslie.
Yeah, no, that's probably a good thing to do. Tune off the news a little bit, tune in the Christmas movies and Christmas music, and grab that eggnog, grab that cocoa, and chill, because all the problems that we're probably just going to touch on, not going to go away in the next couple weeks. So just
As you say, take a little break from it and enjoy the holidays, because come January 1st, the problems will be right back. That's right. But we're going to take a little break, Leslie, and then when we come back, we'll talk about some of those problems, and some of them are pretty serious. We'll be right back with our friend Leslie right after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. One more segment here with our friend Leslie Eastman. Leslie is, of course, a contributor to Legal Insurrection, and she writes a great deal about many, many things. And one of her favorite topics is talking about science and stuff like COVID that she writes about, and Delta and stuff like that. So, Leslie, give us a from where you see things, give us a report. Now that we have COVID, we have Delta, and we've got the number 3. I cannot remember the name.
Yeah, Omicron. Omicron,
yes.
That sounds like a
computer program. That's what that sounds like. Doesn't sound like a virus, you know. But anyway, where are we? I mean, where do you see? Where do you see things right now at the end of 2021, Leslie?
Well, I think we're going to, when we come back from the new year, I think we are going to see a transition. And the reason I say it is we got a couple of different things going on. The first thing is that it appears that the Omicron variant is relatively mild. And your listeners might recall, I did prepare a post in which I had described the previous pandemic of a coronavirus called the Russian flu of 1889, and eventually that strain devolved into one of the common cold viruses that we get nowadays. And it looks like this one, COVID-19 and its associated viruses, are direct trajectory for just that. So you have this very mild but highly contagious variant being spread. And to be honest, we're all going to get it at some point, because the next thing that you see is that there are breakthrough cases throughout in Massachusetts, a significant number of cases were breakthroughs, including booster with breakthrough, like 100,000 cases that already had the third shot. And there'll be no convincing me ever that these vaccines work in a way that is practical or effective. And I have a whole array of concerns about long-term consequences of constantly injecting in what has been an experimental vaccine, especially since with this strain, people who have been vaccinated seem to be getting it in significant numbers, which leads me to believe that the vaccination itself is a contributing factor to you getting this infection. So the vaccine is not working as promised. Now, if you take it because you think you're going to possibly have a more mild case, that's one thing. But if you think it's going to solve your problem, well, that is pretty much not the case at this point. So that's what's going on with the virus. But what I find truly interesting is two very leading liberal publications now have come up and basically said, we need to get over this. We need to go on with regular life. And one of them was the New York Times, which in their editorial board's opinion piece basically came out and said, we're going to see cycles. This is not going to go away. We need to take a different approach, which is pretty much word for word what I had said when I described the Russian flu cycle. So I think people are beginning to get it, that it is endemic. It's not going away, which is good, because once you recognize a problem, that's the first step into resolving a problem. So that's one component. The second publication was The Atlantic, which basically had two top-rated pieces back-to-back. One said was basically most people he knew didn't care about Omicron. The other one said that Generation Z didn't care about Omicron. And I think more and more people are basically, you know, ignoring any of the mandates. In fact, it's so bad that the New York governor said that she imposed a mandate, but basically is not necessarily enforcing it. The counties can enforce it or not enforce it, but so essentially is not a mandate. So again, that the movement is occurring on, we'll say, the progressive side, recognizing that you can't control your way out of this problem. And then finally, I wanted to make a note that California Governor Gavin Newsom, as well as the New York one imposing mask mandates, the Colorado governor, a Democratic one, basically said the emergency is over and there'd be no mask mandates. Mm-hmm. And I got to consider that Jared Polis, who's the governor in Colorado, is taking a serious look at the upcoming presidential campaign and is positioning himself in to be a reasonable moderate Democrat, which is going to be good for him because that field is going to be kind of thin. So we wish him good luck in his political ambition and congratulate him in making a very sane and shrewd move in terms of pandemic policy.
Yeah, also the lady governor from Michigan, I cannot think of her name right now, but
Gretchen Whitmer.
Right, she has also said that these mandates are bad for business, and that they even for government workers, she said something along the lines that all these mandates, you know, we cannot get people to show up to work or we're going to lose too many people. I think the economic reality of all of this is catching up with people, because you do reach a point where it's like you cannot shut down anymore. We don't have the resources to send money to people. The economy doesn't need a shutdown. So, you know, we're just going to have to navigate through these difficult waters and take whatever precautions we take. And, you know, if you want to wear a mask, go right ahead. If you feel more comfortable wearing a mask, go ahead. If you can get your employer to let you work from home, okay, do that. But, you know, these mandates from the top, I think, are just too costly and too confusing, Leslie.
Yep. I could not agree with you more. And I really think a contributing factor is the upcoming 2022 election. And I sense people have had enough of the Democratic, especially Democratic policies that have gotten us in this position. So just crossing the fingers and hoping that when we talk this time next year, we've pretty much got over the hump of the coronavirus and are in a healthier trajectory, at least in terms of the pandemic. And it, again,
right.
I really can't say it's a pandemic. The virus is endemic. It's in the system. It stopped being a pandemic. It's now in the animals get it. There's no way to vaccinate your way out of it. It's in the global population. You will get it. You will get some sort of nasty cold. So if we had a sensible public health bureaucracy that was interested in rural public health instead of power, we'd be seeing commercials, take your vitamins, go get your exercise, you know, looking at ways to ventilate the house, air filtering systems, you know, that sort of thing. Things that would actually build up your immune system. Weight loss is a big thing. It appears that the virus does find its way into fat cells, and that's why people who are obese have a much better and much better chance of dying than those who are not. You'd be hearing public service announcements along those lines. Instead, what do we get? We get the FDA dipping pizza in chocolate and making that a cute little video that it posts on a Twitter feed. And it's very, very frustrating that our public health officials seem only interested in promoting vaccines and promoting choices that would lead people to take the wide array of drugs that Big Pharma is offering.
Interesting. No, I did hear something that this last virus, whatever you call it, Omicron, whatever you call it, is not as bad as the first two or the first. That is what I heard. I mean, I'm not saying don't take it seriously, but it seems to – it's more contagious, I hear. But it's not as deadly.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Does that make sense?
That appears to be true. Now, that being said, everybody has their own slate of risk factors, but the risk factors really kick in if you're old, and by old, I mean north of 75 or higher. You have maybe are obese, or you have some underlying health condition that really has stressed your immune system. These are tend to be the ones that suffer the greatest. Yeah, you know, so again, you tend to your health as best you can. Take your vitamins, vitamin D, zinc, you know, a few others, copper, zinc. Those seem to be the ones that really help. Anti-inflammatory, so there's a lot of different anti-inflammatory over-the-counter vitamins, herb supplements that you can take. Those are excellent option. You know, and pay attention and do things to good choices in diet, good choices in health, good choices in exercise. And, you know, get yourself healthy so when you get infected, because you will, it's recoverable. And choose to get a vaccine. Choose not to get a vaccine. Find out what the information is and make a fully informed choice. And do, personally, I think, choose what's right for you.
Yeah. Well, when people ask me about it, I always say, talk to your doctor, because I honestly don't know anything about it. So I always say to people, talk to your doctor. He's probably the one person who knows you better than others. But I would think, Leslie, that this would be a good – you're talking about habits and good health and all of that. I would think this would be a pretty good time if you're a heavy smoker. This is probably a good time to quit that habit, Leslie.
Absolutely. Anything that can impede your respiratory health would be put you at a risk for COVID. So yeah, give up smoking, heavy drinking, bad habits. No, it's hard, but if you're really concerned about COVID, you take care of yourself and you make the good choices.
That's right. No, you're exactly right. Well, let's talk about another little problem, and I'm going to ask you from a woman's perspective to take a look at this because, you know, let's face it, ladies usually do a lot of the shopping in the household, And in most families, that's the way it is. The ladies are the ones who go shopping. So you have a better sense, I think, you know, the ladies like you and so many others have a better sense of what things are costing. So one of the things that is crazy is the price of food and inflation and the price of gasoline. So tell me, what's it like to go shopping these days and finding things so expensive, Leslie?
Well, I got to say, it's a little different for me because you understand now it's just me and my husband, and the food machine that we once fed my son is now at the U.S. Air Force Academy, and they're feeding him. So my food bill took a big drop.
That's true. Well, we know what that's like because we don't have to worry about three. We had three machines that we don't have to feed anymore, but I know what you mean.
That's a little challenging, but you can see the price increases on coffee, on eggs, on and in California it's really tough. And I recently bought a ton of bacon because new regulations put restrictions on how to handle pigs on farms, and unless you are one of those farms that do X, Y, and Z, you're not selling, you know, meat in California, and none of the farms really want to participate. So I'm looking forward to my bacon shortage coming up next year because those rules kick in January 1st. So that's tough. And gasoline is just outrageous.
What is the price of gasoline in Southern California, Leslie? Ours is $3.09.
What I'm paying, and I'm not going to whine about it too bad because other people in this day have it worse. So I'm paid $4.20. The gasoline I got this past week, and it's not going to go down anytime soon. So inflation is a serious problem. Fortunately, we're not on a fixed income, so that's good now, but we will be. And, you know, you can see people who are on a fixed income are going to start struggling and have to make choices. So the transitory inflation, it doesn't appear to be any such thing. And many people remember what it was like in the 70s. So I think part of the unfavorability ratings you're now seeing Biden deal with are people from remembering what the 70s were like and remembering what that inflation was like and being very unhappy to be seeing the inflationary spiral twist up again.
Right, because when people remember, and I remember that quite well, 79, 80, 81, 82, it was a very tough time for the American economy, but what had to be done back then in 81, 82 to bring down the inflation, they had to raise interest rates and they had to really, in many ways, slow down the economy. So 81, 82, you saw a pretty nasty recession going into almost into 83. And then after that, the economy began to recover quite well. So we may have to do the same thing this time. The Fed is already talking about increasing interest rates. And, you know, you start increasing interest rates at a time when we have so much debt service, it could be pretty scary for the country to handle that. Now, I was glad to see that Senator Manchin stopped this nonsense of Build Better Back or whatever it's called. I'm glad to see that he stopped it because in many ways I think he may have saved the Democrat Party by doing that. Because I think a lot of other Democrats were opposed to it, but they were afraid, I think, of saying anything because, you know, they'll come after you. They'll run a primary against you if you're a Democrat and you don't support the left. But Manchin doesn't care because he's from West Virginia, and the left cannot touch him there. On the contrary, if the left criticizes
him. And I think Sinema is much the same. I think Kristen Sinema also is very much the same. That Arizona remains red enough, and she actually seems to have a care for constitutional principles,
yes,
making her a heads above many other Democrats. So she's in a good position if she stays strong as well. And to be honest, given just the implosion of Team Biden and the whole Obama cabal, and also witnessing the implosion of Clinton and their cabal, it will be interesting to see which direction the Democrats take in 2024, because between cinema and Polis, those are their best bets for some sort of sane centrist future, and we'll see how they're treated.
Yeah, and then again, you know, we look at 2022, and I think one of the great question marks of 2022 is Vice President Harris, because I've never seen, Leslie, anything like what we're seeing with both the president and the vice president. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, most of the time, the president in the first year retains a lot of popularity because there's a lot of goodwill. There's a honeymoon, in effect. So usually at the end of the first year, they're not as popular as they were at the beginning of their presidency, but at, you know, they're within, let's say, 50% or something like that. But here we've had a very tough drop. I mean, a very big drop for the president and the vice president. I mean, she's not very popular either. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of concern about the future of this administration. So much concern, Leslie, that even Hillary Clinton is hinting at being the 24 nominee. So that just, I think 2022, when, you know, if we speak a year from now, I think I wouldn't be surprised if there are some major changes in 2022, Leslie.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, in this crazy world, pretty much anything can happen. So, but it will be interesting to see where things lay after the 2022 election. I think another congressman from, actually this one from California, just said he's not going to run for re-election. So another one has abandoning ship, so to speak. So I think the prospects of a power shift are distinct, but really, you know, yes, the power can shift back to the Republicans, but what they do with that, hard to know.
That's always been the question, you know. I mean, that's right. I mean, they get the power back, and what are they going to do with it? Well, before we go, tell us a little bit about Blake and also your legal insurrection article. So tell us, you said Blake is at the Academy. Is he going to be back in town for the holidays?
Actually, he made it back home. He's back home as of Saturday. He had his birthday, 20 years old now, if you can imagine. Sophomore at the Academy, doing well in the Cadet Space Ops program, still pursuing physics, just a real exceptional young man, took off with his posse to go to Disneyland for a couple of days, so they had a blast. And I'm looking forward to pampering and spoiling him. But his timing was perfect because Colorado Springs got slammed with 100-mile-hour winds yesterday. So, again, they were enjoying a great deal of global warming in the Midwest yesterday.
That's right. Well, tell us a little bit about some of your articles at Legal Insurrection. What I know you just wrote one about schools in California.
The couple of highlights here, and we've got some really great materials from a number of different authors, especially my colleague Vijuda Unial writes a lot of the foreign stuff. He and I kind of tag team on China, because I've my stepdaughter Michelle being working in China. But he's got one on China pledging support for Putin amid Russian military buildup. So he's got his eyes on those dealings there. A fun one for my colleague with the wonderful sense of humor who has been on your show before, Michael Chance. He has Nancy Pelosi has no idea where the attitude of lawlessness in the country is coming from. Apparently, Biden isn't the only one suffering from some sort of dementia or senility, because I think it's quite clear to most people where that is coming from. And also, he prepared another wonderful piece on Ron DeSantis, and I think the man to watch, and I really think the man to look out for in 2024 is Ron DeSantis. I don't know what he'll end up doing, but he certainly has been the leader for our time. And he's just introduced Stop Woke Act to keep critical race theory out of the classrooms. Mm-hmm. And that really, I think, is an issue that speaks to a lot of different people. And the one I did was on major school districts adopt an equity grading system. Basically, they're ditching DNS failing grades and allowing kids to redo homework assignments. And it's a touchy-feely move because there was a glut of failures. Of course, with the pandemic style learning, that's been very difficult for most kids. Most kids have suffered. So it basically, the California education system has decided to weasel worm its way out of the problem by just ditching failures. And I think it was really summarized nicely as a soft bigotry of low expectations. So our in this state, the educational system is completely destroyed. And people are making choices based on their focus on equity as opposed to the focus on a quality education to make people a productive and useful citizen, which leads me to another article I recently, that can be kind of tied into that, is that there is a proposition a group of parents and parent activists are working on for, you know, producing a quality, your constitutional right, quality education. So it's going to go on a ballot as a proposition. So there'll be standards that will have to be adhered to, and the quality of the education, it will not only not be just be free, but it'll have to produce a productive citizen. And that is the goal of that particular proposition. And over the next year, I will be following that. And to cap off my recent revels at Legal Insurrection, the British have been head and shoulders above the American press and their coverage of the pandemic and its origin. And they had a Harvard scientist in front of the members of parliament in the United Kingdom a couple days ago, and she outlined in great detail of why the lab leak is the most likely origin of COVID. It did come from Wuhan, and it is very likely a bioengineered virus. And then she gave some details in there. And she assumes that eventually it might be about 5 years or so, but the truth will come out and will be known about the origins of the coronavirus. So that was very interesting. And again, I get a lot of my really good, solid information on the origin story from our pals across the pond, so to speak. Yeah. Tying it back to the Tea Party.
Right, right.
You
exactly.
know, history yeah. we celebrate is.
That's right. Yeah, we go back to the British again. We started out with the Tea Party and we end up with the British. But thank you so much, Leslie, for joining us as always and for your contributions and for your great work at Legal Insurrection. Enjoy your time with Blake. I'm sure that he's as excited to see you as you are to see him, and enjoy your holiday. And after the first of the year, after you put all your stuff in order, we'll do another show, as we enjoy them very much, doing them with you, Leslie.
Yeah, me too. And I look forward to covering the 2022 year with you. And will be the 100th anniversary of the discovery of King Tut's tomb. So I'm going to put out a prediction that there'll be another major Egyptian discovery in the next year, to end it on a positive note.
Absolutely. Well, we look forward to anything having to do with Egypt. I'm sure you'll tell us. So we always look forward to that. But Merry Christmas, Leslie, to you, your family.
Merry Christmas.
And Happy New Year. And we'll reconnect after the first of the year. And as always, thank you so much for being a part of our show and for putting in all your wonderful information here as well as Legal Insurrection. So thank you for the great work that you do. Okay, good night, Leslie. I think I've got
you. Good night, Silvio.
Yeah, okay. All right. For a minute there, I thought I had lost you. All right. Well, thank you so much and good night. And we'll talk to you later. Happy
New Year.
Good night.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Best to Beatrice and Noah and Lincoln and a big hug.
All right. Thank you so much. Good night. Well, that's our good friend Leslie Eastman, a contributor to Legal Insurrection as well as a political analyst and one of the best people I know. If you want to talk about COVID and stuff like that, I always follow her work. Very interesting. Lots of research that she does in that area. Thank you for listening. Everybody have a wonderful evening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.